Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to our program, Let Us Reflect. Our topic today is divine grace. Divine grace in terms of the forgiveness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to His people. Divine grace in terms of the love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for His creation. Divine grace in terms of how pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with an individual who returns to Him. Our main theme or our focal theme today is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when a person returns to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala through repentance, through a realization, or just his happiness and his appreciation of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered His mercy and grace upon him. Before we go on to the main part of our program, I'd like to share with you a hadith narration which expresses the importance of sending blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet, the best in creation, Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Wherever you are, send blessings upon me, for it reaches me." Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. In life, we want to make the best decisions for ourselves. We think that the choices that we make are the best choices for our lives. The truth is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us more than we know ourselves. And His compassion and His mercy for His creation is so overwhelming. If we consider some of the hadith narrations which express the nature of divine grace, we are overwhelmed. We cannot truly appreciate the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot understand and truly reflect upon the nature of this mercy that we receive from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot truly understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened the doors of forgiveness and repentance for us. In light of divine grace, I would like to share with you some hadith narrations. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Lallahu afrahu bi tawbati 'abdihi min ahadikum saqata 'ala ba'irihi wa qad adallahu fi ardin falat." Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more pleased with the repentance of His servant than one of you when he suddenly finds the camel which he had lost in a barren land." The happiness which that individual feels after finding his lost camel in a barren land, in a desert land, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more pleased with the repentance of his servant than the happiness experienced by that person who found his lost camel. That hadith was mentioned in Bukhari. In a similar hadith narration, Imam Muslim mentions, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Lallahu ashaddu farhan bi tawbati 'abdihi hina yatubu ilayhi min ahadikum kana 'ala rahilatihi bi ardin falatin." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more pleased with the repentance of His servant when he repents than such a person goes to a barren land with his conveyance. In that time it was a riding camel. And what happens? فَانْفَلَتَتْ مِنْهُ وَعَلَيْهَا تَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابُهُ فَأَيْسَ مِنْهَا. The camel is lost. He loses that camel. And that camel or that riding animal which this person had, وَعَلَيْهَا تَعَامُهُ, that had on it, his food, washarabuhu, and his drink. And he loses all hope regarding it. So what has happened? This individual who goes to this barren land, meaning the desert, or translated as desert by some, and his riding animal or camel has provisions and drink on top of it, that camel is lost. And obviously all the provisions are lost with it. And the state of the individual is what? He loses hope regarding it. The hadith continues. Our Prophet ﷺ continued to say, فَأَتَى شَجَرَةً فَاطَّجَعَ فِي ذِلِّهَا وَقَدْ أَيْسَ مِنْ رَاحِلَتِهِ. That he comes to a tree, this man, he comes to a tree and he decides to lie down or rest under this tree, losing all hope regarding his riding animal or his camel. فَبَيْنَمَا هُوَ كَذَلِكَ إِذْ هُوَ بِهَا قَائِمَةً عِنْدَهِ. Then suddenly he sees the camel or the riding animal standing next to him. فَأَخَذَ بِخِتَامِهَا, and he seizes its reins. ثُمَّ قَالَ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْفَرْحِ اللَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ عَبْدِي وَأَنَا رَبُّكَ أَخْطَأَ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْفَرْحِ. He is so overwhelmed with happiness that due to the intensity of his happiness, he says, Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. Instead of saying, he was supposed to say, Oh Allah, you are my Lord and I am your slave. But as mentioned in the hadith, he says the opposite of that. And he says this mistakenly due to the intensity of his happiness. So this man is overcome by happiness to such an extent, he doesn't even realize what he is saying about Allah, or the way he is addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes a mistake in his expression of gratitude or in his expression of happiness. So he was lying there under that tree, under the shade of that tree, losing all hope regarding his camel, losing all hope regarding the animal which had the provisions and the water, looking at that barren land, probably considering that this is the end, he will die. Suddenly that animal appears and he is full of joy, such joy that he doesn't even realize what he is saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more pleased with the repentance of his servant than the happiness experienced by this individual who suddenly finds his camel or riding animal after losing all hope in a barren land, in a desert. The main point which comes to mind towards the end of the hadith narration mentioned is how that man, he says the wrong statement about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to the intensity of his happiness, as the hadith narration mentions. And it is clarified in Fathul Bari that if a person expresses such a statement due to either extreme fear or a state of extreme astonishment or not being fully conscious of what he is saying, then these statements, which apparently go against the Sharia, there is no, they are not considered to be, or that statement is not considered to be reprehensible. He is not answerable for that because of that condition. So this is an exception that the scholars of hadith have mentioned. Otherwise, our Prophet ﷺ would have specified this particular issue. Another point which comes to mind is, are we allowed to repeat those words? And the scholars of hadith and the fuqaha have mentioned this, that to relate the account or to teach, it is permissible to repeat those words. But just as a personal preference, I did not translate that part of the hadith, and I mentioned to you what he said in Arabic and then told you that he said the opposite of what he should have said. That was a personal preference. But if this hadith is ever quoted and that part is also translated about how he was supposed to say, Oh Allah, you are my Lord and I am your servant. But he says the opposite. If it's translated as it is, this is not something which is reprehensible, because to relate hadith or to relate an account or to attain a benefit or religious benefit, it is permissible to mention or repeat these statements. However, to mention any such statement in, as a joke, or to just repeat such statements without any real reason, religious justification, this is a reprehensible deed. These narrations are an expression of divine grace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so pleased with an individual who turns to Him in repentance that the example that is given, the powerful examples that were given in those hadith narrations, are enough to make it clear to anyone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants His creation to turn to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with His servants turning to Him and seeking forgiveness and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pardon them. If believers had any doubts about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related to seeking forgiveness, then these narrations should eliminate those doubts. These narrations encourage us to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincere repentance. Embrace the fact that our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us so much that His pleasure is greater than the happiness of those who attain things that they have lost when it comes to the element of returning to Allah to seek forgiveness. It is said about repentance that repentance is the essence of all obligations in the religion. And Sayyiduna Sufyan bin Uyayna, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he says that repentance is one of the blessings granted to this nation which was not granted to previous nations. For the Israelites, there was no such opportunity. If they, their repentance was to kill themselves. So this door of repentance, which is open for the ummah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, this is one of the many blessings granted to this ummah. Value this blessing, return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek forgiveness for the sins and transgressions that were committed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower His blessings upon you. Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi alayhi rahmah, he makes this point that the language that is used in the hadith traditions about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more pleased with the repentance of an individual than the one who lost his camel and then suddenly he found it again in a barren land, and the other hadith traditions similar to this. He says that in these hadith traditions, the word that is used is literally translated as happiness. But happiness here refers to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the reasons why in English it was translated as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more pleased, because it is the acceptance and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is referred to. The figurative use and the examples that were given are not examples which express attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the traveler or the individual losing all hope and then being overcome by happiness, these are not literally comparisons to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The general idea or the general concept of happiness of an individual on one side has no comparison to the pleasure attained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the one or concerning the one who turns to Him in repentance, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the point to be understood, that Allah is pleased, His pleasure is much greater when it comes to a person repenting than the happiness of an individual who attains something which was lost. The grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great that we cannot truly appreciate it. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, as mentioned in Ibn Majah, that if you continue to sin until it reaches the sky and then you repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will accept your repentance. So this thought that I have done so many sins, how will I ever be forgiven? I have transgressed for so many years. I have disobeyed on so many occasions. I have wronged so many people. I have intentionally not fulfilled my obligations in the religion. Is there really a way back for me? Can I really return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is the door of repentance really open to me? Is the door of divine grace open, and will I be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if I return to Him? The answer is yes, if we are sincere in our repentance. If we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wholeheartedly, the door of repentance is open for this reason, that we make mistakes again and again and again. But each and every time we try to make or express a sincere repentance, we try to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. We may fall again. We may fall into sin again. But that door is open, as long as we do not mock the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as we remain sincere in our repentance and we truly try our best to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mistakes that we make and the number of times that we stumble due to our transgressions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us if we repent in the right way and we do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A satanic whisper which affects many people is, why should you repent? Or why repent if you know you're going to do the sin again? It may be a matter of days, it may be a matter of weeks, maybe months, but you will fall into sin again. Isn't this mocking the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you know that you're so weak that you're likely to sin again, why do you need to repent, or why repent? This is a whisper which prevents people from repenting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam mentioned this situation in a hadith in Bukhari. He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, when an individual commits a sin and he says, he addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, I have sinned. O my Lord, forgive me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, undoubtedly my servant knows that he has a Lord who forgives sins and who ceases due to sins. I have forgiven my servant. Then for as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, he is saved from sin, or he refrains from sin. Then he sins again. And he expresses the same thing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He seeks forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds by saying that my servant, this servant of mine, he knows that his Lord is the one who forgives sins or ceases due to sins. I have forgiven him. And he does it again a third time. The hadith mentions at least three occasions where an individual who expresses or seeks the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a time passes, and then he does the sin again, and then he seeks forgiveness again, and each time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him. Why? Because every time he returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is sincere in his repentance. Allah looks at hearts. We cannot judge people and say, this person or that person, They come, we see them in the masjid and they raise their hands in supplication, they make dua, and then they, a week or two later, they do the same thing. We should not be people who make this, who pass judgment. That person that we have negative assumptions about, he may have been sincere in his repentance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may grant him success in the near future and he may return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. But if we are bothered or troubled by these negative assumptions, we are only increasing the disease of our hearts. We should be worried about our personal condition. We should be worried about our state in terms of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point is this, that even if you know there is a chance due to the human weakness that a sin may be committed, a prayer may be delayed. If it ever occurs, one repents straight away and renews his intention, and he strengthens his conviction and makes this firm intention not to return to the sin again. Whether he commits the sin again or not, that is between him and Allah. But his intention at the time of repentance is that he will refrain from the sin, and that will suffice. So do not overthink the issue. The door of repentance is open for this reason, that people do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be people who spread hope, who spread happiness, not people who close the doors on others, who wish, who yearn for divine grace, who yearn for forgiveness from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who has given anyone the right to say that the doors of mercy are closed for you? Who has given anyone the right to say that the door of forgiveness is closed for you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this bond with His creation. If His creation turns to Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept them. It is mentioned in Ibn Majah, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that every individual is a sinner or is sinful, and the best among them is the one who repents. So this idea of, I don't want to repent, or I can't repent because I will sin again, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam clarified that the best among the sinful people, generally speaking, people are sinful. The prophets and the angels are sinless. They are ma'soom. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Sayyidul Ma'soomin. He is the leader of the sinless. But people, generally speaking, are sinful, or they are likely to commit sin. Yes, the awliya, the chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they may attain a rank in the court of Allah, an acceptance in the court of Allah, where Allah gives them this honor that they are mahfuz. They are protected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them from sin. So although they are able to, Allah protects them from sin and they do not sin. But generally speaking, human beings make mistakes. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has provided encouragement for humankind that the best among the sinful are those who actually repent. So when mistakes are made, it is time to turn to Allah, or return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance to attain salvation. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we receive divine grace. He showers His mercy and blessings upon us. We pray that we have such a bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a connection with our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if we err or transgress, we return to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately. We repent, we abandon sinful actions with sincerity. We are sincere and true in our repentance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life. What can we expect? Return to Allah. Let us all reflect from a sinful life.